Yes, I so appreciate your willingness to help out. I'm in a very strange situation, and I'll just start sharing with you what it is. But just to let you know, I'm a retired cop. Long story short, after I got out of law enforcement, I got into custom design building, and one of the projects that I did was in Lido Isle in Newport Beach. I did this job for the family of a friend of mine that was a cop, and they were pretty much property investors, but they wanted to have this property for a vacation home. It was literally turned into a $1 million renovation of a 60-year-old building. And at the end of the project, we had a disagreement, and they refused to pay my company about $100,000. At this point, everything is totally civil. My company sued them about a year and a half later in the Superior Court here in the County of Orange for it was 82,000 that they didn't actually pay. And right before trial, well, let me back up one second. At the beginning of trial, they did what's called a motion for summary judgment. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, what that is. Okay. Exactly. So they did that, and what they said was, look, we contracted with Adam's company. There's no question about that. But because Adam's company didn't follow the provisions of the Business and Professions Code, which govern the regulations of construction contracts, he's not entitled to relief as a matter of law. And so summary judgment should be awarded in our favor. The court said, absolutely not. You haven't proved that as a matter of law. And no. About a year later, we get ready to go to trial. And right about a month before trial, they amend their first complaint, their first cross complaint against me. And they say, oh, well, we never contracted with this company. We contracted with him. And because he's not licensed, the Business and Professions Code says that we get a total forfeiture of all the money that we paid him. So let me just back up one second here. If you go down to the Newport Beach Building Department, you're going to find my construction company listed as the contractor on the project. Okay. At the time, I had a lawyer but could not afford to keep one because obviously that 100,000 was my profit. I go to this trial. I testify that, they contracted with my company, not with me. They were family friends, so of course we had a lot of cordial emails back and forth, blah 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 blah. And now at the end of the trial, I get fined $848,000. So not only do they get to keep all the work, I now have to pay a fine of $848,000. Well, there's something in California called the excessive, well, in California Constitution, the US Constitution, it's called the excessive fines clause. And there's four things that every judge has to do before he has authority to issue a fine. Really quickly, the fine has to be proportional to the offense, and they have to take into account your ability to pay it. The judge did neither of those. The second thing is that in order for the court to have authority to do any fine whatsoever, they have to have something called subject matter jurisdiction. So what that basically means is let's say for a cop in Laguna, he would not have subject matter jurisdiction to enforce the vehicle code in Arizona. The subject matter being the vehicle code, all right? So you I'm sure are well aware that like a private citizen cannot bring prosecutorial charges against another private citizen. Like, I couldn't go and see some guy driving down the street, pull him over, and say, oh, I don't think you have a license, so I'm going to arrest you and take you to jail or fine you or take you to court for that, right? All right, so the same thing works with the Business and Professions Code and not allegedly having a license. So, what ended up happening was that I got prosecuted by a private party and then fined in violation of the excessive fines clause when the court and these other people had no authority to do either of them. So at that point in time, I go, I was bamboozled by this, because this is, I'll give you a little bit of foreshadowing of where this is going. This is a major pattern of fraud and treason that's being committed and has been committed in California courts for about 100 years. So at this point in time, despite my law enforcement history, I don't know. Well, let me back up just a little bit. The whole action that they complained against me with is something they use the term. It's called disgorgement.
Okay, I've never heard that before.
Okay. Disgorgement is basically what it means is you cannot keep the fruits of your illegal profits. So you could use the term disgorgement to apply to a bank robber, right? He illegally profited from his criminal act of robbing the bank, and so he has to disgorge or give up the fruits of his illegal conduct. Okay? So I began looking up the term disgorgement, and what I found was that there's a lot of different definitions of it going through the courts. It's basically a term that the courts made up, and no one knew what it meant. So a couple years after my case, the U.S. Supreme Court heard a case involving disgorgement. And they said, look, we realize there's a lot of different definitions out there for it. And the only definition that applies to it is that it applies to illegal profits only, not the penal forfeiture of an entire transaction. So how that case came about was basically the Securities and Exchange Commission prosecuted these people who had accepted $20 million in compensation to build a cancer treatment center. Well, they started taking profits out of there that weren't in the contract, and so someone ratted them out to the SEC. The SEC filed charges against them, and the judge said, well, you know, you were doing some illegal activity. You have to forfeit everything. So the case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, whoa, wait a minute. Yes, these people were taking illegal profits, but they also put a lot of the money that they were given towards the Cancer Research Center. So you can't make them give back money that they've already given back. Same situation here, right? They asked me, or my company, if you will, to build the house. They got the $1 million in renovation, and now I have to pay another $1 million on top of that.
Okay.
Okay, so you see the problem?
Yeah, I do have a question.
Okay.
So typically, and you know, granted, my expertise is not in civil law, but I do know, I'm a little familiar. The fine that was levied, the $800,000+, is that the penalty, or is that also include attorney's fees for the defendant?
No attorney's fees.
No attorney's fees.
It's straight up a forfeiture. So
okay, commonly, and then you probably know, Adam, that commonly in civil litigation, when either side is victorious, however you want to call it, or the judgment is for whichever side, the part of the judgment can include attorney's fees for the other party.
Right. And they can include punitive damages, but not penalties in this nature. The penalties of this nature in the realm of a forfeiture are reserved for criminal actions only.
Okay.
Okay. So that's so there's two main issues right off the bat.
So are they saying that the criminal action is the violation of the Business and Professions Code?
They're not saying it's criminal whatsoever. So that's...
Then it doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's my sentiments exactly.
Okay.
So the two issues, just to kind of review it, is I was prosecuted in a civil case by private people that don't have authority to do that. That has to be done by the district attorney. That's number one. So the whole thing goes in the toilet right there. They have no authority to proceed. The judge has none. The other people have none. Because the entire executive authority of the state of California is vested in the governor. And he has to have police officers, district attorneys who bring criminal charges against people, not private people.
Okay.
So that's the first thing. Then the second thing is that also makes it criminal is the fact that I was fined $848,000 without any of the protections of the excessive fines clause. So that whole fine is gone. Can't do it. It deprives the court of authority if they don't follow the rules. Same thing in law enforcement, right? You can't do something that's without your authority. So the same thing works the way that way in on the judicial side of things. Well, in any branch of government, for that matter. So after I went through this trial and I was like, what in the hell is disgorgement? What in the hell just happened to me? Something is terribly wrong here because, you know, I was a cop for about 10 years between like 2000 and 2008. It's right around there. And everything I remember about law enforcement was pretty common sense. If it felt right and it, you know, seemed legitimate and fair and reasonable, you could do it. If it didn't, there's a problem. Well, obviously finding $850,000 for no license is a problem. When also the maximum criminal penalty, so to speak, for the same offense is a maximum fine of $5,000. So, anyways, I started doing all the research on this and I made an appeal and I raised these issues and the appellate court said, yeah, there's no merit to any of your arguments. This was obviously before the Supreme Court ruling came out. So, then I went to the California Supreme Court and I had, for a petition for review, they declined to hear my petition. I went to the, U.S. Supreme Court, same thing. I then went to the United States District Court here in Santa Ana, and they said, well, we can't review the judgment of a state court. And without going into all the legalities of it, that's a lie if the judgment is void, which it is. So then I went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal on appeal, and they threw my case out as frivolous. So here's where the problem comes in. There's an $848,000 lien on a property that I am a legal title holder to in here in California. And there's something else. After the judgment was imposed, about 90 days after that, there's a statute that says in the Business and Professions Code, if you don't pay the judgment against you, any license you have is suspended until you either file bankruptcy, pay the judgment, or work out an agreement with the other party.
Okay.
So that in and of itself, suspending a license is punishment. And so when you have punishment, you have the right to judicial proceedings, meaning if they have to have a jury trial, they have to put on facts and evidence and all of that stuff. I got none of it. No trial whatsoever. So now I was the qualifying individual on my company's contractor's license. That license and any attempt for me to obtain a license in my own name has been suspended for 4 years. So I can't work in my profession as a contractor as a result of this illegal judgment. So now that lien is on the house. My estate cannot no longer afford to pay for that lien. And so my house is now going to go into foreclosure. And I can't sell it because it's on there and they'll get the money from it. The only other choice is that I'm being forced into bankruptcy. And I may be able to use the homestead exemption, but at that point I will lose the property because I have no way to work in my job. And I've been forced to study how this fraud is being perpetrated on me and many other people to find out how it's done so that I can stop it. But the problem is no one in the California government is listening and is doing anything about it. Now, I did send petitions for redress of grievance to the legislature to let them know about it. And I have in writing that they said they were going to do an investigation and they'd get back to me in a week. And I've never heard anything back. I went to both the senator and the assemblywoman in this area, and that's what I've gotten. So I'm at the end, and you know, it's my understanding when I was a policeman, I know this is a very strange case, but my understanding as a law enforcement officer was that I had to protect somebody's constitutional rights, even if a crime had not been committed. It was my duty to do that. So that's why I'm coming to you, because this is an egregious illegal activity that's being perpetrated by the legislature and the courts. And it's not just happening to me. There's many other people that are getting prosecuted and punished for this. And it's just way over the top. And I don't know where else to go. So my feeling, given what I understand, and this is assuming, of course, that I'm able to evidence everything that I've shared with you, and it's correct, my first thought would be that you take either an info or a crime report for a minimally fraud. I know it may sound like a stretch going out to robbery, but that's the forcible taking of property without authority, lawful authority. And so the... Well, then maybe fraud or grand theft, something like that, because this is a clear, I mean, it is so black and white in law that they do not have the authority to do this. And they've been doing it for literally since 1929. And I have lots of other cases that are very similar things of people reaching out, trying to get a hold of the legislature, whatever. And it's very clear cut what the U.S. Supreme Court has said about this. So anyways, what can you do for me? The first thing would be to take an investigation report. And then, you know, that's up to you. I am alleging a deprivation of my rights and under both the California Constitution and the U.S. Constitution. And so somehow you have to begin an investigation into whether or not that's happening and protect my liberty and property. However that comes about, because they don't have authority to take my liberty and property without authority. And that's exactly what's happening.
Okay. I'm not going to minimize what you're going through, but I'm going to try to simplify it in a nutshell from my interpretation of what's happening. It sounds like you went through civil litigation. And the process itself is messed up somewhere, to where it got so far that a judgment came against you, and neither the judgment itself nor the penalty seems to be within the parameters of civil law. But however, that judgment is what gives them the authority to wreck the rest of the things that came after it, in terms of trying to take your property, trying to take your earnings, trying to take your livelihood. So because it's within that framework, I can't, based on my training experience, say that anything illegal happened and therefore a crime occurred and needs to be investigated by the police department. Now, I can appreciate, and I actually, I'm pretty moved by the fact that you went through all these proper measures that nobody else would go through, or nobody else I've dealt with would go through, in terms of appealing it to the next level courts. That's commendable. The issue that raises a flag in my head is, number one, these courts aren't listening, so there might be a problem that's more endemic in that system. But also, kind of the elephant in the room, is there any other attorneys that are willing to fight this cause with you, since there are other instances of this, even though you may or may not have the means to retain one?
So can I back up to one statement that you said, and then I'll sure. I'm going to take a note and just write that. So yeah. Attorney, let me write that down so I can come back to it. Okay. The first thing that seems to be incorrect, and it may be a training and experience issue, is the fact that, yes, it was a civil judgment, but anything that a court does, just like anything a police officer does, that authority has to come from the Constitution. And if it's not there, the Constitution or a law, if it's not there, then there's no authority for the action. You can't, like, say, oh, well, the court made a judgment and maybe the court messed up, and so that's why you're having to deal with this. No, if there's no authority to do it, it's what's called ultra vires. I mean, like, I couldn't go out in the police car and arrest someone without, if they had a purple shirt, because I didn't like purple shirts. Now, I realize how on the complete end of the spectrum, the opposite end of the spectrum, that is, compared to this, we're talking about intricacies of law here. But it's the same thing. A private party cannot prosecute another private party in court. That removes the judge's authority right there. Just like a cop can't go arrest somebody for having a purple shirt because he doesn't like it. The same thing is, you cannot impose punishment. You have the judges have no authority to impose punishment unless that punishment complies with the constitutional parameters. So again, they can't just make up a number because they feel like it one day and say, oh, here's $1 million fine. No. I'll give you an example of a recent case that came out through the Court of Appeal. Is this indigent guy got arrested for something. I don't remember what it was, but they tried to impose like $25 in court fees on him. And he went all the way through the appeal process and he said, time out. I don't have a job. I don't have a pot to piss in. I don't even have $5. How am I going to pay $25? And so they said, you're right. It's excessive for your situation. Every single case has to be taken on a case-by-case basis, and a person's ability to pay has to be considered. And it has to be proportional to the offense. Well, in my case, obviously, it can't be proportional to the offense if the same criminal penalty is $5,000 maximum. And again, they didn't take any of that into account. So that would be the first thing, is that even though it originated in the civil context, it can turn into criminal really quickly, just like if someone shot somebody else in the middle of a civil trial. You know, we're not going to say, oh, that's civil because it's in the middle of a civil case. You can do criminal activity in the middle of something that began civilly. And I say it's criminal because these judges and lawyers know this, and they have a duty to know this. This is basic. Like, what's the difference between a fine and damages? I mean, obviously, if you have damages, you prove that there's damages, and then you give money for the harm that was caused. Well, there's no evidence of any harm. So if there's no evidence of harm, obviously you have a fine and a penalty. So they know this.
Are they calling it damages?
Well,
because I don't have this case in front of me, so I don't know if they're quote unquote prosecuting you for a violation of the business professions code, or if they're basically just dinging you for any pain and suffering or other.
Okay, so that's a great question, and I'll answer that. And here's where some of the confusion goes. So if you look at the Business and Professions Code, the way it's laid out, there's two sections. The criminal, so to speak, section is 7028. And it says, basically, if you contract without a license, you can be fined up to $5,000 and have 6 months of county jail, blah, blah, blah. All right? Then there's the quote-unquote civil section, which is 7031. 7031 says, if you don't have a license, you can't sue your customer to get compensation. And if the customer does compensate you and you're unlicensed, you have to return all compensation paid. So basically what the court has to do is they first have to find you that you're unlicensed. And then once you're unlicensed, then they apply this penalty to you. Now, it's a criminal penalty disguised as a civil penalty.
Okay, so that's where the crux of all this is.
That's a part of it. So to answer your question for damages, here's where it gets crazier. So the word disgorgement is not mentioned anywhere in the statute. But if you look at the pleadings that they filed against me, they say it's an action for disgorgement. Well, disgorgement happens to fall in a part of law called equity. And a court of equity can't impose punishment. So that's completely knocks it out that it's not disgorgement. Second off, disgorgement only applies to profits. There was no evidence that I even profited $1 in the case. So here's where it gets a little bit more strange, right? Where the complaint says disgorgement, the judge's minute order says disgorgement, but then when you go to the actual judgment order, it says damages. And there were no damages evidenced. The only evidence that was put on in my trial was who did I contract with? Did I contract with these people or did my company contract with them? And so that's the avenue they took. The court said, you contracted with Adam. And as a result, he has to forfeit all of the money that was paid. Well, there's another curious thing going on here is that about $650,000 or more wasn't even paid to me. It was paid to my company. So how would I be required to forfeit all of that money? You see, so it just, the anomalies are monumental. It doesn't add up. So going back to your question about the attorney, I have called probably 5 attorneys. And because judges and judge misconduct is involved, most of them do not want to be involved.
That makes sense.
The other thing is, on the other ones that I've spoken with, they can't, for some reason, understand that this was a fine.
Okay. It's kind of in my boat when it comes to that semantics issue.
And I could understand how, you know, maybe because you aren't versed in more of the judicial side of things, that may be the case.
Yeah.
But I can,
that's
I can.
Years short of my juris doctorate, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, I can easily show you that with some case law and substantiate everything that I'm saying. And I mean, just on the other side of it, if you kind of throw, like, I realize I'm throwing a lot of things at you, a lot of different legal terms and a lot of different, you know, processes and all of that. But the bottom line is, I was ordered to, I got fined $848,000. So anyways, back to the attorneys. Yes, I have called a number of them. And there is no one that I have been able to find that is willing to help because of both of those issues.
The statement of your liberties are being infringed? This might be a violation of your constitutional rights. How have you reached out to the ACLU?
They're a private law firm, and no, that is probably one of the last places that I would go because I can do better work than them.
I tend to agree with you on that. In a quick Google search, and this is just me spitballing out loud,
mm-hmm.
There's a California governmental website for filing complaints to the Commission on Judicial Performance.
Okay. Yep. Like been there, done that. So my understanding is, and I could be wrong about this, but they don't investigate criminal acts. They investigate.
Inspector General, or
I don't believe so. I don't know, to be honest with you. But I can show you the complaint that I made to them that clearly shows a deprivation of rights and all of these things. I mean, it's very simple. Like if I sat down in front of you and I could demonstrate that this was a fine, then you would go, okay, well, where's the case law on what the judge has to do when they're going to impose a fine? And I'd give that to you. And there's 4 things they got to do. And I can show you in the case they didn't do any of them. Well, when I made this complaint to the judicial council, they say, oh, we don't find any errors whatsoever.
Okay.
What? What? I mean, put it this way. The case I told you about with the SEC, that's almost a carbon copy of my case. And that's how the United States Supreme Court would rule. Yeah, this is a contractor licensing case. It's not exactly the same. But the same procedural mechanism of disgorgement was used in my case that was used in the SEC case. So literally, they're like carbon copies.
So even after you point this out to any of these private attorneys, no one's willing to take the ball and run with it?
No. Okay. And almost every time they say, look, this is serious judicial misconduct and I'm not getting involved.
I see.
Because they think it's career suicide.
Sure. What about State Department?
Been there, done that. I reported it to the FBI even, and they hung up on me. I have the audio tape. They sent it to me. I got a FOIA request from them.
So, I mean, honestly, just, you know, talking to you for the past half hour, it on the surface, it sounds like somebody who is unhappy with a judgment. I do see where you can, I can put myself in your shoes and I can see where you're looking. But it's, you know, I'll be honest with you, it does seem like a stretch, especially with my lack of familiarity and with how long or how in depth you have to go to try to explain it to a layperson. And then coupled with the quote-unquote professionals who do this for a living, and they're not seeing or they're not on the same wavelength as you, it causes me to believe that there may not be as much merit to what you're saying as you may believe.
Okay, so if that's the case, so there's two things I'd like to say to that. First off is, okay, let's say that one of your officers, going back to the purple shirt example, or let me use a judge. Let's say a judge had a case and he fines some girl $1 million because she was wearing a purple shirt. Would you say, and there's no authority to do it, would you say that? What's that?
There's no law that prevents somebody from wearing a purple shirt.
Exactly. Same here. There is no law that allows a private party to prosecute another private party in a civil case.
Okay.
That doesn't exist.
There's got to be something missing something missing to their side of the story that I don't know about.
There's
this to happen on a regular basis, right?
No, there really doesn't. That's the gnarly thing about this is, look, you know, when I worked in the police department, my final assignment, if you will, was major fraud and forgery. My level of, you know, forensic investigation, I'm highly trained in that stuff. That's what I do. And so this has been my job for the last 4 years to uncover this fraud that's being perpetrated and how they're doing it. It's mind-blowing how they could not even have a clue about what they're doing, but that's the truth of the matter. So I get how you go, like, wait a minute, how could all of these judges say this? Well, they're not all saying it. The United States Supreme Court, which is the highest court in our country, is saying exactly what I'm saying. But the problem is all the local courts in California are not. And here's the problem. If they admit what they're doing, do you know how many of these, every judge from a superior court to the Supreme Court is going to be out of office? They're all going to have to pay back, I don't know how many tens of millions of dollars that they ordered to be taken from people and given to others without any constitutional authority whatsoever.
Right.
That's the scope of this. So now the people that I need to go to get help from, they have their ass on the line to not do anything about this. And that's what they're doing. They're shutting me out and not giving me that. Because if my case wins, all of these judgments are all voided for 100 years of history. That's how serious this is. And I'm not just talking about judgments in state court. There's federal judges that are ruling on state law doing the same thing.
Sergeant at a local municipal police department. And I got no skin in the game. Like, I got nothing to lose if I were to, you know, investigate this. How do I go about it? Where do I go? I mean, it seems like judicial misconduct because it doesn't seem like they're playing by the rules of their own game. But how is that a crime?
Well, very, very simply. So where do you go about it is just start the investigation, meaning I'll bring you the evidence that substantiates.
That's where we're at a crossroads, Adam. Like, I don't have, it's not like, okay, you know, a guy doesn't pay his bill at the restaurant. That's your 537. I can work with that. I'll dive in.
Right.
A guy cuts a check that doesn't belong to him. It's a 476. I can work with that. But
right.
This is
straight up. You know, it's straight up fraud. If you don't buy the robbery thing,
what penal code section does it fall under?
I think 470, right? Let's see here.
Forgery?
No, there's
a
wait, wait, wait. Let me look it up. Well, first off, a forgery of a judgment order because it's totally unlawful. You can't do it.
But they have the authority to produce those types of orders. They're playing basketball and they're traveling with the ball and nobody's calling them on it. But that's not a crime.
Well, it is. So even if you just, well, let me just show you just, we can find a California penal code that would work, but are you at your computer?
Sure, yes.
Okay, type in the word Cornell with two L's and 42 USC 1983. Oh, this is the civil side of it. Let me see
yeah.
What it is. 42 USC 1980. I think it's 1984. 1985. Conspiracy to interfere with civil rights. Stand by. I will get it to you. I just have to look at one thing real quick. There is a criminal statute for deprivation of rights. I'll get it to you in just a minute.
California Penal Code statute.
All right. Hang on one second. How about 532?
Okay, what's the fraud?
The fraud is obviously that they don't have authority to do the action to take money, property, or liberty without authority. That's fraud, and they're doing it. But they don't.
On high, except for maybe the Supreme Court, based on your rationale, are saying that they do have the authority. So
No. The U.S. Supreme Court is saying that they don't have the authority.
Right. That's what I meant.
Okay.
Everybody except for maybe the Supreme Court, based on your rationale, are saying that they do have the authority. So there's a reason, and I sympathize with you for what you're going through, and it sucks, and it does sound shady. But there's a reason why everyone's giving you the same answer.
Well,
it's not to pick on you, it's because they're not seeing it the same way, and they're not contesting it.
So
not you either. They're not in the same situation you're in. So it makes it
your name's Darren, right? Darren, right? Okay. So let's just hypothetically say that what I'm telling you is the truth.
Okay.
Now what? Whether they can see it or not, that I get. If they can't see it, obviously, then it's not criminal. But this is their duty to know and do it. And when you bring it to them, it's their duty, even if they've made a mistake, to fix it. Now,
yeah, and I mean, not to trivialize what you're going through, but this is the kind of thing that world, and they fight this monumental fight, and things change after all said and done. But it's not the police department getting involved. It's not, usually it's not the individual being involved. It's somebody that swings a big stick or is up for the challenge.
Right, but that doesn't relieve... So a police officer has a sworn duty to protect and defend the Constitution of California and the United States. And under, I think it's Article 1, Section 18 of the California Constitution, every citizen has a right to petition any branch of their government for a redress of grievance. That means that I can go to you, I can go to the legislature, I can go to the judicial for anything that's going on that where my liberty or property is being violated by the government. And I can make a complaint.
Your liberty or property being violated by the government.
Okay,
they've... You got a judicial decision that you didn't agree with.
No, Darren. See, that's where the trouble is yes, you're correct.
Right.
I don't agree with it. But I don't agree with it not because just I'm having a bad day, but because the United States Supreme Court has said that the judgment is unlawful. And the Constitution for California says it's unlawful. And the Constitution for the United States says it's unlawful. Everything...
The Court of Appeals have either said it's either lawful or it's not even rising to the level where they're willing to hear it.
But what is the highest authority as far as the courts go in the United States?
The U.S. Supreme Court.
Okay, and what is the higher authority even beyond the U.S. Supreme Court? The Constitution. Yeah.
Okay.
And it says right in there, no excessive fine shall be imposed. So then you go.
Who is to determine what's excessive?
Well, I'll give you.
I'll give you
the case law of a recent appellate court decision right here in Southern California, and the court.
And who creates case law?
The appellate courts do.
So that's the problem. That's where we're at.
No, it's not. It's if they're doing something, let's just even say that it's not criminal. If they're doing something and the act of what they're doing is violating someone's rights, that doesn't mean that they get to keep violating someone's rights because they don't know what they're doing. That's the whole point of having a government of checks and balances. Is for me to go over to here to the police department because the judgment's getting enforced upon me and my property. My liberty is being restrained, obviously, because I can't work. And the house that that's in my estate is going to get foreclosed on and I'm going to get forced into bankruptcy. There has to be an agency of government that can do something. I don't understand your reasoning, Darren. If I look back upon my duty as a policeman, I had to protect people's constitutional rights and their property. So if they came to me with a crime that was being committed or another agency of government that was depriving them of rights secured by the Constitution, I had to investigate it. I couldn't just say, oh, well, you know, it seems like you're unhappy with the judgment and, you know, the courts aren't listening. You can't do that. The duty is that if a complaint is made and there's a bona fide complaint, right? I'm legitimate. I'm offering to come down.
There's the crux, Adam. We don't know if this is bona fide. And based on what you're describing, it's not.
Well, so Darren.
My estimation in the last 45 minutes.
What if I come down there, which I'm willing to do anytime, today, the next week, we can meet on Zoom if you're worried about COVID, whatever. I will give you the documentation that will support everything that I'm sharing. The law that the Supreme Court has said, exactly what happened in my case, the dates and times, the case number. You can go and look it up and verify everything that I'm saying completely.
I believe everything that all your research, I have 100% faith in you doing your due diligence in order to fight this thing. What I would like to have, and you can email it to me or drop it off, is the judgment that we're talking about. So the serve actions, the court notes, whatever you have, the penalty that was written, everything that you have regarding this decision that you disagree with, and I need you to give me a chance to review it and bounce it off a couple people, and then we can talk again about where to go.
Okay.
If I look through it and I see exactly what I think I'm going to see, which is what other people are telling you, then we're back to where we started.
That's fine. What is it though that you have the notion that you're going to see that I mean, and it's fine. You can straight up tell me that you think, hey, I don't think I think you're way off, Adam. This can't be going on. I think you've already kind of said that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I have. And it might be disguised in different legal mumbo jumbo, like we're talking about, you know, where they're maybe incorrectly splitting hairs when it comes to judgment or damages or fines or penalties or things like that. But that's not a matter of law. It's a matter of semantics.
Yeah, this is not my house being fined almost $1 million, being forced into bankruptcy and financially destroyed and not having a job is not a matter of semantics to me.
I would agree with that, yes.
So this is more than semantics. This is not just a judge had a bad day and, you know, I'm unhappy because it was a he said, she said. We're talking about full-on exercise of the judicial power of California and the executive power without any constitutional authority to financially destroy me and essentially ruin my life and force me into bankruptcy and divest me of everything that I own in bankruptcy. That is huge.
Absolutely.
Especially if it's without authority. Now, I am very grateful that you are willing to look at this. So I will put something together for you and get it to you. What is your email?
It is it's my first initial and last name. So it's going to be D for Aaron, J-O-E for Joe, and that's at N for Newport, B for Beach, P for Police, P for Department.org. So all together, it's djoe@nbpd.org.
Okay. So I will get that to you, but let's just hypothetically say, what if what I'm saying is true? And there are potentially hundreds of other people who have gone through this, and this is what the state is doing.
Then, just off the top of my head, there needs to be some sort of class action against all of this, because to this point in the conversation, we still haven't established what crime is occurring, other than maybe a constitutional rights violation, which is still very, very ambiguous in terms of what I can do from my desk in Newport Beach.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, let's just start with the facts, and I'm good with that for now. And we can go with that. So I will get you the stuff that will substantiate what I'm saying, and then we can go from there. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay. Darren, thank you so much for your time.
All right. You're welcome.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay, brother. Okay. You too. Thank you. Bye.